Hey folks, this is John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach, or at least I did before the coronavirus shutdown. Since the shift to distance learning, every day we're doing a brand new podcast, and the podcasts are taking place in my house, on my walks, in my neighborhood, rather than in my classroom, because I'm not there. And you're probably not there in your classrooms too. Schools all over the United States have been told that we are shut down for the rest of the year. And if you're like me, that's frustrating and it's scary. As an instructional coach and as a classroom teacher, I do my best work when I'm in the space where I'm allowed to do my work. So this is a new normal, and it's adjusting to that is really hard. So I wanted to offer what resources, tips, and strategies that I can here through the web and a bit of distance learning of our own to get involved and talk about binge-worthy lesson planning in this time away from our traditional classrooms. It's not easy, but it is where we have to be right now. So I hope you're safe, I hope you're healthy, and I hope you enjoy the podcast. New episodes will drop every day. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app. Leave a rating or a comment. It helps other people find it, which is super cool. We have new episodes every weekday from now through the end of the school year, Monday through Friday. And if you want to talk further about this episode or any other episode, any ideas, feel free to message me on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name and EDU like teaching. Happy to connect. And like I said, I don't plan on being an expert on everything. I'm just trying to figure out the best ways to do it. And talking to people who are doing it is a great way to learn together. Likewise, I have a website, www.adrenalinerush.com. And that is a way to get templates and resources and anything I can do to share, borrow them, steal them, change them in your classrooms. And today I'm actually going to talk a lot about templates and resources, which would be really, really helpful. So this week's entire theme is all about binge-worthy distance learning. On Monday's podcast, if you didn't have a chance to hear about it, I talked about Tiger King and the idea of creating a must-see, even if it is train wreck television, that everyone in the Zeitgeist finds itself talking about. That was Monday's conversation. Tuesday, yesterday, we talked more about thinking like or planning like a producer, building to a thing that feels like it's must-see television in an era where people don't watch television the same way. Now we have to do must-binge television. So how do we binge, or how do we design a lesson plan that really has some sizzle before we even get to the steak, before we get to the meal, right? Talk about marketing and producing and really selling the drama. That was yesterday. Today, I want to dive into a closer look at what it looks like when you actually get inside of a distance learning unit that could be binge-worthy. And there's some great examples of it, too. I don't, like I said, pretend to be the expert on all this stuff. There's a bunch of teachers all over the place who are doing a fantastic series of jobs related to this work. I think one of the best examples, and I'll talk about it a lot today, are these visuals that are presented on Google Slides or on PowerPoint. Just like imagine a big colorful picture of your favorite backdrop or your favorite background or your favorite city or your favorite theme park or your favorite, you know, outside space. And then over the top of that, superimposed over the top of that, it appears to be like a Candyland style board with like squares, right? So like there's 10 or 12 squares. Square one might be like the red square. Square two is blue. Square three is green and so on and so forth. But each of these little squares, just like Candyland, might have a little icon on it instead of maybe a gumdrop or a, you know, a candy cane lane. Instead, the whole thing is themed around the content that you're teaching. The best examples I've seen, and if you're on Twitter, I recommend checking it out. There's a woman who, a teacher out of California. Her name is Amanda Sandoval, and she tweets under the name History Sandoval, just like it sounds. History, and then S-A-N-D-O-V-A-L, History Sandoval. She is fantastic at creating these templates in a highly adaptable, very easily reusable version of. So what you're looking at is a big picture background, right, that is highly themed, okay? So it's, I don't know, a waterfall. And then over the top of it, we have a dozen or so board spaces, like you were moving forward, like in Candyland or Monopoly, right? From space one to space two, two to three, three to four, and so on and so forth. What it really is a very dressed-up version of, hey, gang, here are the 10 things I need you to do this week. Once you're done with the first thing, work to the second, then the third, then the fourth, the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth. And each of these little icons have a little redirect or a clickable. So instead of hitting the candy cane lane or do not pass go, do not collect $200 from Monopoly, when you land your mental, you know, pawn on that space, you click on the linked resource that is there. So maybe in the first one, it says, click this link to watch the Ed puzzle. You know, we learn a little bit about the history or the background of, I don't know, Niagara Falls, if it's a waterfall background, right? Then clickable two, maybe in square number three, is, you know, take the short quizzes or the, you know, the online quiz or Google form about this. With the click of a button, they take it there. But there on step two, between, you know, the first Ed puzzle and the second quiz, you have this really cool image on the board, which is just like a person in a barrel going over Niagara Falls. It doesn't mean anything. It's just sort of helping to tell the thematic story of, in the world where Niagara Falls is something we all are learning about, we're going to learn some background in that first Ed puzzle. We're going to take a quiz in step three, but we're also going to see, oh my God, there were people who tried to go over those falls in a barrel. That's crazy. They're in click number two. And maybe click number two would take them to, you know, a little aside, a little fun factoid thing about the story of so-and-so who made it over the falls in a barrel and survived. It's a 30-second or it's a 2-minute YouTube video, but it's a cool enough, clever enough, clickable that takes somebody from a place of, oh, it's all thematic in the world of this story. If I'm talking about waterfalls or if I'm talking about, you know, the history of this space, I'm learning a little bit more along the way. And much like the progression of a game board, you can see, oh, once I'm done with square one, I move to two. Once I move to two, I move to three. You don't have to click on every square if you don't want to. Just like when you play the game of life or the game of Monopoly, you won't land on every space on the board. But there are certain spaces that are like, everyone must do the thing one or thing two or thing three. What's really cool about Amanda's templates, or the ones I've seen sort of inspired by it, is it might have 12 spaces listed, but only like 6 activities scattered throughout that are must-dos, you know, and they can be marked with a clickable or marked with an icon or a star or whatever that looks like. But then in the meantime, you're still just thematically getting the world of this story. So maybe it's click here to learn about Horseshoe Falls in Canada, or click here to see a visual of what the Canadian side of the falls looks like versus this side, which is the American side of the falls. Or click here to learn, you know, take a voyage on the Maid of the Mist in a real-time camera. Like, and that's cool because this one sheet, this one Google slide, this single page is full of everything you would think to need for a full week's worth of instruction. Because if there's, let's say, 6 different clickables on there, if each clickable takes 10 to 15 minutes, right, you're talking about 75 minutes worth of work for just making your way from the first stage through the last of this document. And if you're a teacher like me, you know that your average kid in high school is not putting more than like 20 or so minutes, maybe 30 minutes max for each class. So if there are 4 or 5 or 6 clickables, maybe they're getting 2 or 3 done in a day, but only 2 or 3. You have to give them 2 or 3 days then to complete that entire map. But what's nice about it is by the time they get to the end of that map, and we can talk about what the end of that map can look like, there has been some thematic cohesion to, hey, first you learned with an Ed puzzle the history of Niagara Falls, hypothetically. Then you had a chance to watch a video, even if it is sort of funny, sort of crazy, of somebody trying to go over the falls in a barrel. You learn a little bit about trivia or history. Then that third step, okay, now we take the online quizzes or we do a Google form and we fill out a little bit more that we know. So we're going to be pushing up your taxonomy, your difficulty as you go. On stage number 4, you get to take a virtual tour on the Maid of the Mist and get to see from the eyes of a traveler what it looks like to be on a boat right there in the spray of Niagara. Then you can go to, you know, like link number 4 or 5 and talk about what it looks like to see it from the Canadian side versus compare that to the American side. And then again, new and different content, maybe a Flipgrid there at item number 6 or 7, where it says, okay, now based on all of you that you've seen, submit a 2-minute video where you tell me what is the most interesting thing of what you've interacted with so far. But the beauty for our students is it feels like a video game because this landing page of picture of Niagara Falls, hypothetically, and again, I'm picking something that's just totally obscure because you can use this to teach anything. It's all cohesively themed that just like you're in Candyland, you know when you play Candyland, you're not really not in your living room. But for that moment, you suspend your disbelief and suddenly you're in, you know, Gumdrop Lane or the Candy Cane Forest, right? You play this game, you see everything in the eyes of the world of this character, and you start to feel like, for a moment, the escapism that you forget, oh, I'm just playing with cardboard and little pieces of paper and plastic. I think as an adult, I was very sad when I realized that most board games are nothing more than a printed sheet of paper and a few plastic tokens. But when you're a kid, you disappear into the world of the story. And these visual layouts of the week's events with that big, stunning picture of Niagara Falls in the background And that board game kind of layout over the top really does help you feel like, okay, I started with no knowledge of this thing, but then I immersed myself in the world of this thing and went from step one to step two to three to four to five to six. I've replaced the need for micromanagement, classroom management, with micro-credentialing. Once they complete square one, they work on square two, from two to three to four, and so on and so forth. And so there's a sense of mastery and a sense of purpose and a sense of confidence as they work their way forward. That, for me, as a design element, is really, really cool. And when it's all wrapped upside in this pretty package of in the world of this neat background, right, that makes my students feel safer and supported, because it's not like I'm learning this stuff because it's just been thrown at me. It's, oh, it all fits together in this universe of waterfall background. Plus, with the beauty of the internet, you can, through Google Slides, even embed things like GIFs as the backdrops of any Google Slide. So you can literally have like a running water video of Niagara Falls there in the background as they go, or clickables along the way that would take them two videos of the same stuff. Really, really helpful. Really, really creative, really, really clever, and ultimately, it feels one-stop shoppy without feeling like here's a list of 10 things to do. The icon-driven, the visuals help to take a lot of the sting out of the learning differences, and for students at any level, whether they're older or younger, to make something feel like you've entered the world of a video game or a board game, it borrows against the familiar aesthetics that they've learned from when they were children. So it's like, oh, if I open the world of Mario, right? All of the things that I'm playing in Mario are all coming from this digital board game, right? Level one is the pipes, level two is the sand, level three is the water, level four is the sky or the ice. This all fits inside of the universe that is Mario, just like in our board game of Candyland, whether it's the gumdrops or the peanut brittle or the candy canes, it all fits inside of the world of this candy, right? Doing the same with Niagara Falls or World War One, or, you know, inside a scientific laboratory or space, or doing something inside of a novel. Little pieces of the puzzle that sort of scatter the breadcrumbs, so to speak, as Hansel and Gretel make their way into the forest, so that by the time they get to that last page or that last, activity, they're ready to rock and roll with whatever you have set up for them, whether that's a deep dive analysis of a story, or a close read of a text, or a major submission of a video where they have to model back for you a technique, and, you know, whether it's a scientific or a mathematical concept, because they built that confidence and they feel really strong. And again, it's just so beautifully presented. I can't say enough good things about it. It's simultaneously very zen and very complicated. So I give credit to the teachers who are doing great work. Again, check out the Twitter feed of Amanda Sandoval. History Sandoval is a really great jumping off point for this stuff. I know for my own teachers, I encourage them to do something very similar. And it really does make a big difference in our classrooms. It's not the only way to do it. That's one way to do it. This is Wednesday's episode. We'll talk more tomorrow about other ways to go, maybe even deeper with more ambitious Google Forms embedded in Google slide decks and things like that. But that's tomorrow. For today, this feels like enough. So I want to say thanks for tuning in. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay tuned. We'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks again.